newspaper, some good articles.
Oh, okay, great, yeah. great.
And they accept a letter to editor I have in there. So we're just trying to get it online so we can spread it all over.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, so there's an article on the injection wall itself.
I have past ones, too. Well, if you just look on the internet, News on the Green, you can pick up all that info.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Even the old ones.
Okay.
But there's one for you. There's a hard copy.
Yeah, I'm going to take this with me. So I just wanted to chat with you both, now that I have you both in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a little background on what I'm doing, okay? And then the rest is all on, I'd like to hear from you. So
go right ahead.
What I'm doing is I've spent 6 years working at Frack Tracker, this nonprofit that researches and maps fracking, including injection wells. And I go around the country, well, not around the country, but around, I've traveled to England, and to Texas, and to Minneapolis to do this work and to talk to people about this topic. And throughout my travels, especially in Ohio and Wisconsin and some other places, I kick myself that I don't record the stories of the people that I meet.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because that's really the data, you know, because really what we do is the mission of Frack Tracker is to identify and fill in as many of the gaps in the data that we can with the work that we do. And when we can't fill in those gaps, we try to highlight them by writing about them, bringing them to the attention of policymakers, Ohio Department of Natural Resources, or even federal agencies, and saying, look, this is the kind of data that people ask about. We can't seem to compile it. Do you guys have it? And if you don't, why don't you? And if you don't, why don't you? Do you plan to? So that's the work that we do. But more and more I'm seeing that data, you know, we consider data to be like an Excel spreadsheet or like a Google Earth or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But data can also be photos and it can be stories, right?
We have a lot of photos and we have a lot of videos.
Right. And so the story thing that we're looking to do is all these stories that I've heard people, I've said, you know, I kick myself. I got to start recording these because I've met so many interesting people and I've learned so much by just not talking. Kind of ironic that I'm talking right now, but not talking and just listening to people, right?
Uh-huh.
I always tell people that I work with, like, large and small nonprofits, talk less and listen more, right? So fast forward to here. So we're trying to get a grant to start to archive these stories, to record them and to archive them and to make them available to journalists and to academics to strengthen their research or their journalism so that instead of them going into a community uninformed or going into a community thinking they know all the answers to all the questions, listen to these, listen to the people, and then develop your questions based on what you hear in those interviews.
Yeah,
and these
we're
interviews,
living it every day, right,
right,
James?
Exactly, living it every day. And you guys are in a unique position because A, you live next to something that doesn't exist yet. B, you also live in a region where these injection wells already are.
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen them, you've heard about them.
Yep.
It's not something foreign to you. And then C, the injection well component of the conversation, it's just never talked about. I know that Kucinich was here a couple days ago. And
Sunday.
Yeah. And none of the politicians at the state level, regardless of their party, want to talk about the waste component of the oil and gas industry. So what I'm here to do.
I think he did in part, right?
He did.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, but most of them haven't to this point. Yeah.
Oh, he was so gracious. They came to my house.
Oh, they did?
They came to my house.
He's a genuine guy.
And his wife, she is such an asset to him.
Yes.
They are awesome together.
Good team.
Yes.
So the reason that I'm here today is because I heard a little bit about your story from Jane.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to hear from you guys, from you folks, is, you know, when did this proposal, okay, let's back up even further. What did you know? What were you trying to educate yourself on with respect to fracking before you even heard about this proposal? And then once this proposal came across your radar, how did that change how you looked at things? So you can both answer that question, but does that question make sense?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I was the one that found out about it. My property's right straight over. You can see my field from here.
Okay.
And this used to be all woods in there. And the man that owned it used to give me a permit to hunt, you know, in there.
Right.
And I knew him very well. Well, he passed away, and then his
You're recording?
And then his husband or his son inherited it, the property. And they started timbering. And since Bill had passed away, I went down to his office. He's an attorney here in Brookfield. And I went down to his office to see if he would sign a permission slip for me in case I hit a deer and it goes in there. Well,
this is the son.
His son, right. Bobby Herman's. I'll give you his name. I don't. But anyways, he said, and then I said, what are you doing? You're just selling the timber out of there. And he said, that's already been taken care of. And so I said, okay. I said, could you give me a sign, this hunting permit for me to go in there if, in case I get a deer?
Right.
He said, I can't do that. And I said, why can't you do that?
But his dad had given that to you for every year.
Yeah, his father.
His father, right.
Anyways, he said, I can't do that. And I said, why can't you do that? Your dad did. And he said, I sold the property. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, who'd you sell it to? And he wouldn't tell me at first. And he said, you know, I said, well, I'll go to the courthouse. I'll find out who owns it.
But he flat out said to you, I can't tell you?
He's sort of like that, yeah, roundabout way.
Didn't you tell me? He said, you'll find out.
And I told him I'd find out. I'll go to the courthouse because it borders my property and be on my deed.
Well, they could thought not. He said that to you. You'll find out.
Then I said, well, wait a minute. I said, when I told him I'd go to the courthouse, find out. He said, well, I'll tell you. I sold it to Highland Fields out of Pittsburgh. That rang a bell with me right away. That's a well drilling, an upfront mm-hmm. company for a well drilling.
Mm-hmm.
And that. So I talked to him and I told him, Bobby, you better pack your bags and get out of Brookfield if that's what I'm thinking. So I came here to the park and I talked to the previous owner of this park. And I said, you know what's going on down there? He said, I don't care. I sold the park yesterday. It was finalized yesterday. He sold the park. Plus, he sold his home right there by the entranceway to this.
So he managed to sell the home around the same time that this gentleman sold this parcel.
Yeah, pretty close.
So are you implying anything? Or?
Well, the guy, Chuck Matthews.
Who owned this park.
Yeah. His home was just like two or three doors down. Two houses down from that entrance. And they sold it. Mm-hmm.
But he sold around the same time that this guy sold to Highland Fields.
Yeah, well, I was in the process before. Yeah. They were in the process, both of them, at the same time, I would say. And then when I started checking, I'd done so much on this. That was March 18th, 2016, when I found out, or March 18th. Yep. And I've been working at this ever since, because mm-hmm. I have property over there. And you got a lot of retired people right here. Right here where you're sitting in this park. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame. I mean, and, you know, you start reading up on all this, and they start telling you about your water. I got well water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they weren't afraid of doing something to our water, why did they hire a consultant outfit to send us registered letters all down my road now? They wanted to come in and test our water.
Mm-hmm. Who hired them? Highland Fields?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, they came in. I gave me, everybody, you know, tested water. So at the council meeting or trustees meeting, I advised people to get a second check. I did.
An independent one.
Well, Gordon Brothers, they're a big water thing. Hmm. They came and checked mine. Well, when I got the results back from this consultant outfit, I took them down to Salem to Gordon Brothers and took the one that they did. They didn't hardly compare. I mean, I was supposed to have this in the water, that in the water. And they, Gordon Brothers, no, you don't. Well, when Atlas drilled the gas wells over there, they messed our water up. It cost me over $4,000 to get it straightened out.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't want no more problems with water, you know, my water.
Right.
And most of the concern over there is people with water, well waters. We got wells.
Right.
They got city here.
Right.
But we got wells.
Right.
So if they're not worried about messing up my water, why did they do this, you know, up before they started anything here?
Right.
And I've been all over about this. I've